What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Chargers Lately. Happy New Year to everyone as well. It's 2021. I hope all of you guys had a wonderful holiday break. I know I did. Appreciate you guys kind of sticking through me with that. Wasn't the same amount of content through the holiday season, but I mean, we all kind of need our breaks, especially after a long season like this. Especially my first season covering the team from a professional standpoint was it was a big deal for me to kind of get some of this needed rest, especially heading into draft season. And it's a draft season for the Chargers that's going to be extremely, you know, I don't want to say busy, but I mean, it's going to be lively. It's going to be entertaining. There's so many ways the Chargers can go in the first round, whether it's tackle, edge, cornerback. I mean, depending on how this team kind of fares through the first few weeks, right, we'll see, you know, who the head coach is even going to be. And maybe we can't even get that deep into draft stuff until we figure out who the coach is, the kind of schemes he's going to run, and things like that. Regardless, it is a busy time leading up to the NFL draft. I like to do a lot of things, like to be involved a ton. So most definitely, again, appreciate you guys giving me a little bit of a break. And sorry I didn't tell you guys that I actually was going to skip an episode there. I kind of just, you know, winged it, being away from home and with family for a good solid week. So guys, it is week 17. We're heading into a game against the Chiefs that will be missing quite a bit of star power compared to maybe this matchup in week two. So let's dive into the injury report, and it's a fairly decent size injury report for both teams. So as far as the Chargers go, your players that are out that will not be playing in the season finale are Joey Bosa, Rayshon Jenkins, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, linebacker Malik Jefferson, and Jahlil Adai. Adai was questionable on Friday. I am recording this on Saturday, obviously, and Adai this morning was downgraded to out. So all of those players are out, and Sam Tevi, the left tackle, is questionable. Now, that's a lot of talent. I mean, we're already missing quite a few starters before, you know, the season and the injuries piled up, but no Joey Bosa. Oh, and Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen wasn't on the official injury report, you know, deemed as out because he is actually on the COVID-19 list. So obviously he is out. He will finish his year with 992 yards receiving. So he falls short of 1,000 yards. He did get to 100 receptions before he stopped playing this year, and unfortunately he didn't have an opportunity to break his career high in touchdown receptions in a season with 8. So he had 8 to finish this year, which is a ties the mark that he set as a rookie back in 2013. Just a huge bummer, man. He was really on pace to set career highs. He had 99 catches and I think 970-something yards heading into the Raiders game. So with 3 games going, you know, he had all the time in the world, all the opportunities to set career highs across the board. Unfortunately, hamstring injury plus COVID, it just wasn't in the cards for Slayer this year. Moving on to the Kansas City side of things, players that will be out. So we obviously know Patrick Mahomes will not be out. He will be sat and rested prior to the team's first round bye of the playoffs. Other players out include rookie running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Tyreek Hill is out with a hamstring injury. Ben Neiman, one of their middle linebackers. Mike Remmers, I can't recall if Remmers was a starter or not. I believe he is one of their guards. He is out. Sammy Watkins will be out as well. And then questionable are defensive tackle Derek Nnadi, one of their starters, and Le'Veon Bell, their backup running back. So in this game, if Bell plays, you're probably going to see a lot of Bell. But overall, a lot of their good players not healthy in this one. But at the same time, I would be surprised to see someone like Travis Kelce play. You know, he set the receiving record yardage-wise for tight ends in a single season, broke George Kittle's record this year. He has kind of all the records and things he needs. I don't see why he would play in this game as well. I don't know if tackles, you know, Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz, I don't know if those guys will be playing either. Both starters, both important to the success of this team. Guys like Chris Jones and Frank Clark on the defensive line, you know, maybe they play, maybe they don't. I just don't know how many starters, if at all, we will see against Kansas City this week. One of the bigger storylines, especially recently with rookie quarterback Justin Herbert, was the rookie touchdown record. Against the Denver Broncos, he only needed 1, and that's all he threw for. He threw for a single touchdown for his 28th score, passing score of the season, to break Baker Mayfield's record of 27 that he set back in 2018. So on the year, he sits with 28 passing touchdowns and 32 total touchdowns with four rushing touchdowns, pardon me. Now, in terms of other records that he could break potentially in this game, if Justin Herbert gets three scores, total scores, passing and rushing combined, he will tie Cam Newton's total record for total touchdowns that he set back in 2011 with 35. Now, if he gets four total touchdowns, he will break that mark and have it all for himself. In terms of Andrew Luck's passing yards record, Luck in 2012 threw for 4,374 yards. At this point, Herbert needs 341 yards to break Luck's record. I think off the top of my head, Herbert has a few games, I want to say, over. So 341 is the number. This year, he's thrown for that or more just once. Okay, so the only game he's thrown for over 341 yards was against Jacksonville in week 7. He has thrown for 330, 326. Oh, no, excuse me. Here's the 366 effort he threw against the Jets. So twice. Okay, so just twice he has thrown for over 341, and he's thrown for near 341 a couple times. It is a possibility. He only threw for 253 against the Broncos. The offense just looked real off kilter against Denver this past week. Just rough, a rough way to go, knowing that he needed to average 290 to finish the record 2 weeks ago. I mean, on the year, he's averaging, let me find it. I don't know why they aren't giving me a number. Oh, here it is, 288. I mean, like, so before the Denver game, he was averaging more than 290, what he needed to break Luck's record. Unfortunately, he fell short of that. Again, the offense was just not what you'd expect against a Denver defense that was obviously missing quite a few pieces on that defensive side of the ball. So, four touchdowns for the total touchdown record to break Newton's mark. 341 to break Luck's record for passing yardage by a rookie in a single season. Two things to keep in mind. One of the other headlines going into this game is that without Patrick Mahomes, Chad Henne, the 35-year-old veteran, will start Sunday against the Chargers. Some things to know about Chad Henne. Again, 35 years old, he has only attempted 11 passes in the last 5 years. He's been with Kansas City, and he's also been with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was actually a quarterback with Jacksonville when Gus Bradley was still the head coach of the Jaguars. So 11 pass attempts last 5 years. He wasn't even in the NFL in 2015 and 2019. So this isn't just like a guy who's, you know, been a solid backup, seen some decent time, you know, in reserve duties and stuff like that. I mean, he's been almost nothing in the NFL. You know, of his last 6-7 years, two of them he wasn't even on an NFL team, right? So I guess I don't really know what to expect from Henne this year so far. In his career, he has thrown for 58 touchdowns but 63 interceptions. So not a good TD to interception ratio at all. But in total, he has thrown for 12,990 yards in his career. Against the Chargers, he will probably be able to cross over that 13,000 yard mark, gets him a nice little threshold to pass. But in general, like, it's not a scary or intimidating thing. This isn't Matt Moore, who showed some promise, you know, over the last few years in reserve duties. This is a totally different quarterback. I know it's Andy Reid. You know, I know he can get the best of anyone he really trots out there. I just don't know how scared the Chargers really have to be of Chad Henne. Regardless, you can't take anyone suiting up for the Chiefs lightly whatsoever. I think, lastly, something that a lot of people have been talking about this week, especially with Black Monday coming up on Friday, or Monday, of course, Black Monday on Monday. Black Monday is the day where most teams get rid of their head coach if they plan to do that at any point this offseason. Usually it's the Monday following the final regular season game of the year. So what we have to ask ourselves is, will beating the Chiefs and ending the year 7-9 with a 4-win streak, will that help Anthony Lynn keep his job? So I am torn on what's going to happen and what I think should happen. I've gotten several calls this week from other writers, friends, colleagues, who all want to know what's going to happen to Anthony Lynn, what I think is eventually going to happen with the head coach. Now, he's won some games, right? 9-7 the first year, where he showed he could be the coach that this team needed. And then 2018, they go 12-4. to show even more so that he is the coach this team needs, this franchise needs. And then 2019 happened. And they're 5-11. They end up with the 6th overall pick. And they can't win a close game to save their life. Here comes 2020. It's the same story in 2019. It is close loss after close loss after close loss. Blown leads over and over and over again to a point where it was historic. I think they were the first team to blow 3 straight 16-point leads in 3 straight games in NFL history. Pardon. They even blew a 21-point lead to the Broncos the first time those two teams matched up. Lost in the final play of the game. A 21-point lead, which is just unfathomable. Absolutely insane. But after he's hunkered down, after the worst loss in franchise history of 45-0 drumming by the New England Patriots, Anthony Lynn said it will never happen again as long as he's the head coach. And soon after that game, he took over the special teams unit. Since that time, the Chargers have won 3 straight games, all by 1 score or less. So 3 straight close games, close wins. And at the same time, special teams has been much better. Not nearly as many penalties, not nearly as many mistakes, gaffes, what have you. And Nasir Adderley, who has seemingly taken over kick return duties from guys like either KJ Hill or Joe Reed, he has 2 huge kick returns in the last 3 games. I think one was for 71, 72 yards, something like that. The other one was for 53 against Denver. So not only has he figured out the discipline issues with the special teams, not only has he fixed the mistakes, the huge pivotal moments that come from that unit, but he's also fixed the return game, which has definitely, you know, given the team some life. He's shown, just kind of like he did after that 0-4 start in 2017, that when he does, you know, he's figured out the problem. Yes, it's late, but better late than ever. He's fixed it. Teams winning games, these close games. You know, they're about to go into, yes, they're not making the playoffs, but they're about to go into the 2021 offseason with a 4-game win streak, should they beat the Chiefs, which they should. Let's just get that out there. They should. So, for continuity purposes, Justin Herbert is a godsend, right? I don't know how else you described him. Budding superstar. He is it. This coaching staff was behind it. Justin Herbert was not the greatest college prospect ever. He had issues. This team brought in Pep Hamilton. Pep, Shane Steichen, Anthony Lynn have all played a part to varying degrees in Justin Herbert's progression, his development into what he is today, arguably the offensive rookie of the year. So how much weight does that hold? You know, if they get rid of Lynn, who do they keep for continuity purposes? Steichen? Do they keep Pep Hamilton? In my honest opinion, if they do get rid of Lynn, I do think Pep Hamilton is kept. I think he's been huge for Justin Herbert. Just the way Herbert talks about him and Pep's relationship, you can just tell. It's obvious. It's apparent. He loves Pep. The mindset that he has instilled in Justin is apparent on the field as well. Whenever Justin has bad games, he talks about how Pep keeps this mindset drilled into him that, forget it. On to the next play. Who cares what just happened? And the thing is, Herbert has shown that in several games. When Herbert's thrown bad interceptions, not like game-ending interceptions when the game's kind of already out of hand already. I'm talking when he throws early interceptions. Justin's been able to come back and play extremely well. He's been kind of what you want in veteran quarterbacks. He's shown that type of resilience, that type of mental fortitude. I mean, he does a lot of things, not just mentally, but physically as well, that veteran quarterbacks can't even do at this point. Escaping pressure, finding and making the tough play out of structure, off-balance throws. He's the real deal. At least through 1 year, he has shown everything that you want in an entire, complete NFL quarterback. Will that be enough to save Anthony Lynn, all of this combined? What do you weigh more? The mistakes, the mismanagement of the clock, game situations, or the recent success, the success he had to start his time with the Chargers in 17 and 18, the success of Justin Herbert, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised no matter what they do. And at the end of the day, whichever one they decide to keep him, to fire him, I'll understand and like acknowledge and know why they did it. But we just won't know until probably Monday after the Chiefs game. So we're going to go ahead and finish up today's podcast with three keys to victory, the weekly post that I do to talk about what the Chargers can do to be victorious in the game this weekend. So 2.0 version, three keys to a Chargers victory over the Chiefs. Now, this first one is with nothing to lose. The Chargers just need to let Herbert cook like he's never cooked before. It's the final game of the season. Again, the Chargers are out of the playoffs and they already have won, or they've won their way out of a top 10 pick in the upcoming draft. So the Chargers don't have anything to lose, and they're playing a Kansas City Chiefs team, that are without Patrick Mahomes, without Tyreek Hill, and probably going to be without quite a few of their starters. I just think in this game, there shouldn't be any limits put on what the team expects out of Herbert, on what they put on Herbert's plate. They shouldn't lean on the run game to establish the run for some arbitrary reason, and they shouldn't shy away from giving him the opportunity to use his legs at all. More zone reads, more RPOs, stuff like that. I mean, really, throw everything out there. Honestly, if Herbert isn't given the chance to let it rip from start to finish, again, this is a guy who's first in the league in, I think, 50-yard throws still. He's first in the league in yards thrown for against pressure, you know. That's who this guy is. Also, 11 of his 28 touchdowns have occurred on passes of over 20 yards down the field. Also the highest rate in the NFL among all quarterbacks. If he is not given the chance to let it rip from opening whistle to the final whistle, I think we all need to riot all the way into this offseason. Secondly, don't treat the Chiefs' backups like they're backups. As I kind of talked to you about, they're running out 35-year-old journeyman veteran Chad Henne. Like, a lot of people are probably wondering, like, or thinking, we didn't know he was even still in the NFL. That's the quarterback that this team is trotting out there. But Andy Reid has proven time and time again that he can make a mountain out of a molehill no matter what players he decides to throw out there on offense. And the Bolts honestly can't afford to give him an inch when it comes to the mental side of this game. The Chargers can't take this thing easy. Anthony Lynn said earlier in a presser this week, I believe it was on Wednesday, that most backups in the NFL are often guys who feel like they're better than the starters anyway. You know, the whole mindset of like, if I only got my chance, I'd show them. They don't know what they're missing, that sort of thing. When you give these guys the chance to go out there and show what they can do, usually they are playing harder than the starters who aren't fighting for the job anymore. They want to play out their mind to show and prove that they are the better player. So at the same time, we need to remember that the Chargers are also playing with a ton of backups. You know, without realizing that there's a lot of people hurt right now on top of the injuries that they sustained throughout the season and before the season. So this game without the Chiefs starters doesn't look nearly like the layup it initially did when you remember who the Chargers are really trotting out there as well. They just need to go out, get it done, and end the season on the highest note possible. Now, lastly, you know, I don't know if the Chargers will do this because Herbert likes to spread the ball around, and there are some younger receivers who also seem to be stepping up as of late. Teron Johnson, Jalen Guyton, examples. My third key to victory, honestly, is see what Mike Williams can do with a wide receiver one workload. Keenan Allen unfortunately saw his productive 2020 season cut short due to the combination of the hamstring injury and his recent placement on the reserve COVID-19 list. He's not going to be able to break records, break his career high marks. He's just done. And that's unfortunate. So without Allen, Williams becomes the team's number one wide receiver, and it shouldn't be that hard of a matchup. The Chiefs don't have a crazy secondary. They don't have a crazy lockdown corner. So this could be a really good opportunity for Williams, who was, again, used to be or was the former seventh overall pick back in 2017. He's slated to play on his fifth year option in 2021. The team's already picked it up. His option is set to pay him $15.6 million in base salary. There's no bonuses, no nothing. It's $15.6 million in base salary. If you compare it to the rest of the base salaries at the wide receiver position, that puts him literally only behind Cincinnati's AJ Green, who is getting paid $17.9 million in 2021, should they even keep him. As far as actual cap hit, it would be the sixth biggest at the position. Obviously, the Chargers don't want to pay Williams that type of money. right? Like, he hasn't done nearly enough to be a top 5, 6, 7 paid wide receiver in the NFL. They don't want to pay him, and more than likely they're going to rescind his fifth-year option and choose to either let him walk or sign him to a more team-friendly contract. Now, through his first four seasons in the NFL, with only one game remaining, in his fourth season, Williams has recorded just 145 receptions for 2,408 yards and 16 receiving touchdowns. He also has 9 carries for 31 yards and another score that he ran in during that stunning win over the Chiefs 2 years ago. Now, on a per-game basis, he's averaging just 36 catches for 602 yards and 4 touchdowns per year. That's really not ideal for a former top 10 pick. Long story short, the Chargers should utilize this game as an opportunity to pelt Williams with targets, a la Keenan Allen, and see what he can do when the offense attempts to run through him. It's a chance to see what he can do when looked at as the number one guy in the offense, and it will help the team decide his inevitable fate with the franchise. I think it's a good idea. I don't know about you guys, but it'd be cool to see what Williams can look like when the offense attempts to run through him. There's plenty of other weapons on this team. I understand that's not like the best strategy to win any game. I just would like to see Williams, what it would look like were he to get, you know, 9, 10, 11 targets in this one. I think it would go a long ways in also just helping the team make the decision on whether or not to keep him, to let him walk. It's just, you know, he didn't have a Corey Davis resurgence, right? Corey Davis had a really good 2020. And, you know, he's either going to make himself a lot of money with another team or he's going to get another deal with the Titans. Williams just hasn't been that type of player, unfortunately. Well, that about wraps it up here for today's podcast, guys. Again, appreciate all the love. Happy 2021. I cannot believe that's a thing. 2021. We're living in the year 2021. It's not as post-apocalyptic as a Mad Max movie or one of those other flicks that made it seem like we'd have flying cars or the world would be destroyed by nuclear war. We're still going through our shit, don't get me wrong, pardon my language, but we're here. New year, new me, all that jazz, and hopefully, you know, as we head into this offseason, head into the year and into the next season, it's better than this past one. Everyone's struggled, had their ups and downs, usually a lot more downs in 2020, but it's a new year, it's time to make some ups, all kinds of ups. If you guys don't follow me on Twitter already, you can at ZoneTracks. That's spelled ZoneTracks. If you don't already, go check out my written work at BulletsFromTheBlue.com. That is SB Nation's Los Angeles Chargers community. Come join the fun there. Yeah, that about does it here, guys. I appreciate you all. Appreciate the love. Happy holidays. Stay safe out there. Stay warm if you're somewhere. I know most of you in California. I'm in a snow-covered Iowa right now. So, sorry, that's just kind of a habit. Tell people to stay warm. Anyway, guys, love you all. I'll talk to you later next week.